So, Mr. Robertson, if you can introduce the next item.
So, item 11 provides an informational update for the Irrigated Lands Regulatory Program. Chris Rose of our Irrigated Lands Program, our Irrigated Lands Program Manager, will discuss the development of the next agricultural order, and Chris will provide a brief presentation outlining recent outreach efforts conducted since the July board meeting, along with some input heard during those sessions, and then potential recommended changes from the current order 2.0 for the board to consider and provide us direction. And I want to emphasize, provide us direction. Before we go to his presentation, however, Chris is going to introduce the newest Irrigated Lands Program staff.
Good morning, Chair Wolf, members of the board. I'm Chris Rose. I'm the Irrigated Lands Program Manager. And as Mr. Robertson just mentioned, I'd like to introduce our newest member to the Irrigated Lands Program. He's sitting here with us today. His name is Ken Y. Tai. Comes to us from Sacramento. Welcome, Ken Y., to the Irrigated Lands Program. Thank you. So, as John mentioned, we're going to be talking about the agricultural order, and this is a follow-up from our July board item. Item number 11, development of the next agricultural order. So I'm going to first start with a few highlights from our July board meeting. Remember that the current order expires in March 14th, 2017, so we have to develop a new order to replace that order. At the July meeting, staff had a recommendation about the next order, which we are calling 3.0. And that our recommendation that order be similar to the current order, which is version 2.0. As I said in July, my goal is to have a draft posted on our website for public comment by November 1st, thereby giving stakeholders a 60-day comment period, followed by then the March 2017 board meeting, which time the board will have an opportunity to vote on that. In addition, the MRPs of the monitoring reporting programs for 2017 would include pesticides and toxicity. And we discussed that a little bit in July. And then finally, we also mentioned in July that although we are working towards a 3.0 and be implementing 3.0, that we would also be working on the 4.0, which would be then the replacement of 3.0. We would accelerate that development. So that's the highlights from the July board meeting agenda item. And then I also talked a little bit about the timeline. In August, I told you that I was going to be meeting with, and I did meet with technical assistance providers and other interested parties. I also met with CDFA, California Department of Food and Agriculture, as well as with Department of Pesticide Regulation. That happened in August. And also in August, I had three public workshops as some of our board members mentioned that they were there, and one in Salinas, one in Santa Maria, and one in San Luis Obispo. That gets us then to today, which is our update to the board, which I promised in July. So here we are updating the board on what happened over the past month and a half or so. And then moving on from that, then of course, as I said, we have basically the rest of September and October then to develop Ag Order 3.0. with a goal of having that posted on our website the first week of November for public comment, 60-day comment period. And then in late November, a few weeks following the release of that 3.0 draft, then I would have another series of workshops to answer questions for growers on that draft order that would be posted on our website during the public comment period, followed again by another update to the board. And we have a board meeting on the 8th of December. And then the first week of January, then public comments would be due, followed by our March 2017 board meeting. So that's basically my life for the next 3 months or so. So the status as of today, again, in July, we had an initial recommendation proposed by staff, and board provided input at that board meeting. And I call that board meeting part of the outreach effort that staff is implementing. In August, we had the outreach events, again, as I mentioned. And at those outreach events, interested parties provided input. So now today I have a revised recommendation as a result of those outreach efforts. And then staff seeks board direction today on a few key issues that we heard from stakeholders. I'll talk a little bit about the outreach events that staff then engaged in over the past month or so. Again, we had three webcast outreach events, and this is essentially a meeting that we had over the web where I presented a presentation. And the first one was to technical assistance providers. That was on the 15th of August. And then on that same day in the afternoon, we had another outreach event with environmental justice advocates that afternoon. And then another one with California Department of Food and Ag and then DPR staff. I'll be talking a little bit about what some of the comments were at each one of these outreach events in just a moment. Those were then followed by the workshops again in Salinas and Santa Maria and San Luis Obispo. They were well attended. I lost count at about 60 for the Salinas outreach event, probably the same in Santa Maria, maybe a little less in San Luis Obispo. They were well attended. A summary of the webcast events. For the technical assistance providers and the growers, there was general agreement on the proposal for moving forward with 3.0. However, there were recommendations on compliance dates that would make life and reporting a little easier for growers and their technical service providers, which I'll talk in a moment about what those recommendations were. With the environmental justice advocates, there was not agreement with our approach for moving forward with 3.0. Again, 3.0 having requirements that are very similar to 2.0, which is our current agricultural order. And essentially what they're requesting and what they requested is that the new order in 3.0 should include the legal decisions from the coast keeper and other parties with that case. Or if we don't do that, we should at least then commit to a one-year term on this 3.0. And CDFA and the DPR, then outreach event, essentially it was very much thank you for including us. And we also talked a little bit about what our forecast is for 4.0, which would then be following 3.0, which then, of course, would be including the outcome of some of the legal proceedings that we've talked about in our earlier item in July. Summary of the workshop events. There was a lot of recommendations on the compliance dates, and I would say that there was general consensus on what those compliance dates should be. Again, I'll talk about the details in just a moment on that. A recommendation on reporting year for the total nitrogen applied. Again, I'll talk in a moment about that. Right now, the reporting year is from August through September. It just doesn't line up well with what a lot of growers are doing. Again, recommendations on the ENOI, or electronic notice of intent content, and how that form is updated annually. There's a question about the 2017 groundwater monitoring requirement. And a lot of the growers appreciate the fact that they're going to have an opportunity to comment on the 2017 MRPs, monitoring reporting programs, that were signed on August 22nd. And they're going to have an opportunity to comment on that because that's going to be part, those MRPs will be part of 3.0. That will be part of the package that they have an opportunity to comment on beginning in November. And there's also a question about domestic well monitoring requirement. And should they be really required to do that? And is it really necessary? I'm going to talk for a moment about the 2017 monitoring reporting programs. This is a slide that I included on those webcasts and the workshops. I alerted everybody that a notification that the MRPs were going to be revised. And you may recall from our July board meeting that we had to give some clarity to Preservation Inc.'s cooperative monitoring program about what the 2017 monitoring requirements would be so that they could budget and plan accordingly. So again, I notified the growers and people on these calls that the notification about these changes were going to be coming. and that the ground monitoring would be required. The primary irrigation well, if you have multiple wells, and then all domestic wells would need to be sampled, and we're going to have two samples drawn in 2017, one in the second quarter and one in the last quarter of 2017. And inclusion in the surface water receiving monitoring requirements would be pyrethroids in sediment, the neonicotinoids in water column, inclusion of hyalella, which is an indicator species that is sensitive to pyrethroids, and the addition then of Coronamus, which is an indicator species for us anyway in the monitoring program that is sensitive to the neonicotinoids. So again, this is a slide that was included in those webcast events as well as those outreach events at workshops. Potential inclusion in 3.0 for board consideration. Now I'm going to shift gears here for just a moment and talk a little bit about some of what our recommendations are for moving forward with including the requirements in 3.0, as well as pose a question to the board about some direction about some issues. Staff is considering the following. Does this have a laser pointer on it?
Probably doesn't.
Thank you. Okay. So what this column is the requirement, and what this column is what is currently required in version 2.0, and then what we are proposing for 3.0. So the reporting year. What this is the reporting year that growers have to track nitrogen applied on fields. Right now they track it from September 1st through August 31st every year. And then they tell us in a report called the total nitrogen applied report a month later how much nitrogen they applied on their fields on each type of crop. So right now, again, that reporting period is from September through August, but for a lot of growers, particularly in the northern part of the region, that is, they still have crops in the ground. And so what we're asking them to do is essentially stop tracking what they're applying to those crops in the middle of crop. It just isn't lined up with their cropping patterns. So the proposal then is then it'd be more on a calendar year. And I would say that this is a universal request among growers that mostly everybody wants. So then the TNA, or the total nitrogen applied report, then instead of being due on October 1st, then would be due on March 1st. Right now, the annual compliance form update is due October 1st of every year. So what that means is that for all ranches that have to submit an annual compliance form, which is all tiered in 2-3 ranches, they have to go into that annual compliance form, open it up, make sure that everything that is in there is still accurate, and if not, change that, and then close out, and save those changes, and then close out. They have to do that by October 1st every year. However, again, for some, this is during the busiest time of their season. So our proposal then is to have that on March 1st, which is the same time when the total nitrogen applied report is also due. Right now, growers are also asked to go into the ENOI and make any necessary changes in the ENOI. A lot of growers have been doing that at the same time, October 1st, right? October 1st. And what our proposal is they do it as needed. We think that we can winnow down the ENOI form because there are relics on that form from the old order that are probably no longer necessary in that form. So we think that we can reduce the content of that form to only information that is really significant for us to enroll that ranch, and then also to apply a tier to that ranch and let them know, are they in tier 1, 2, or 3, and so that until that information changes, they don't need to open that up. And again, this is a request from growers as well as some other technical service providers that I think that we could do. It would make life easier, and it would reduce what in their mind is more reporting burden. The individual discharge monitoring. So the individual discharge monitoring is for a subset of 2-3 growers that have a discharge. They have to monitor that discharge, and they report what those monitoring results are to us each year on October 1st. So why not line it up with March 1st so that Again, we basically have this March 1st date coming when growers are least busy during the December, January, and February period, so that'll be due on March 1st. The IAMP, that's the Irrigation, Nutrient, and Management Effectiveness Report. For a subset of Tier 3 growers, they have to develop and implement an irrigation and nutrient management plan. They don't give us that plan, however, they give us an effectiveness report telling us how implementation of that plan is going. Right now, that effectiveness report is due once in the life of the order, and it is due in October 2016, so it's just coming up. Our recommendation is that we get annual updates on these reports, not just once in the life of the order, but annual updates. So essentially, they have had most of the life of this order to develop that plan and start implementing it. Now that it's developed and they're implementing it, why not get annual updates on how that's going? The water quality buffer plan, same thing. It's due once in the life of the current order in 2.0. They've had time to develop it. The first report is going to be due October 2016, which is coming up, obviously. Again, we would like to see annual updates on how that water quality buffer plan implementation is going. The photo monitoring requirement, again, was once in the life of the order of 2.0. That was due June 2014. That requirement is finished. The photos are in the farm plans. Now we have a documentation of what those repairing areas look like in June or so 2014. Our recommendation is that requirement is not repeated in 3.0. And if we want to do that analysis, we can pull those photos from those farm plans. So these are the staff recommendations and what we're considering for 3.0. Monitoring reporting programs for 3.0. So again, we have the monitoring reporting programs for 2017. John Robertson, our executive officer, Mr. Robertson, signed those MRP changes on the 22nd of August, and we forwarded those to growers, but that's for 2017. As you know, the MRPs for the current order let everybody know what the requirements are for the entire life of the order. So now we have to then add to the monitoring reporting programs what the requirements are going to be for groundwater and surface water for the life of 3.0. So we have to develop what those requirements are going to be for the term of 3.0. So some of the things that we need to consider is the groundwater monitoring frequency. In the current order, in 2.0, they had to do that once in life in the order. And so they had two rounds of sampling early on in the order. The question becomes, is it going to be once in the life of the next order, or we do something a little bit more frequent? For pesticide monitoring, what pollutants are we going to include? The frequency and the timing of those pollutants with pesticide monitoring in particular. With the toxicity, as you know, for the 2017 MRPs, we've included a new species. Are we going to continue on with that new species throughout all the years of 3.0, or are we going to change it so it's every other year? How should we do that? So we need to think about this, and we need to memorialize this in the MRPs for the life of 3.0. Other considerations, cost. Pesticide monitoring and toxicity monitoring is very expensive. As Mr. Schmidt of Preservation shared with us in July, the cost increase for 2017 monitoring, the lab cost increase is going to be about 68% compared to 2016 monitoring. Is that something that we're going to ask every year or every other year? How are we going to do that? For the monitoring that we require, what is the value of that monitoring? We all believe, staff believes, that it's important that whatever we require in the monitoring, that we use that information to achieve our goals. And then, of course, the flexibility. In fact, the flexibility within the cooperative monitoring program, for example, in Preservation, Inc., to if we have monitoring that is not required every year, but perhaps only required once or twice in the life of 3.0, can they shift those requirements around between fiscal years to spread the cost out? That'll be one example of being flexible within the MRPs. Staff considering for 3.0 and seeking board input today. These are issues that came up during the outreach events that we are seeking your input today and would like to discuss with you. One is a total ledger and applied requirement. The question is, should we expand the requirements to others? One of the things that we talked about in the July board meeting is whether or not 3.0 could incorporate some of the requirements that we see coming in 4.0, regardless of how these cases turn out. For example, the expert panel made recommendations about nutrient monitoring, about nitrogen monitoring. Could we incorporate some of those requirements in 3.0? So this has been suggested by some of the parties who I've had outreach with in the past month and a half, as well as some of the board members indicated that we could be looking for some requirements that we could expand in 3.0 that would send a signal to some of our friends in the public that want us to move a little faster. The term of Order 3.0. As you know, in July, our proposal was that the term could be for 5 years, but that we would make a promise that we would accelerate 4.0 development, and so we don't think that we would need that whole 5 years. But if we said that it was 5 years, it would give us the assurance that we don't need to come back to the board before an order is ready. Should the term be less than 5 years, again, to give the signal to some of folks who believe, for example, as I said earlier, that 3.0 should have a lifespan or a term of 1 year, is there some middle ground? Is there something less than 5 years that's feasible? These are two items that we seek your direction on. A summary. So staff provided initial recommendation in July, and board provided direction in July. Subsequently, we had outreach efforts the staff engaged in with interested parties, including the agricultural community, including the environmental advocacy. Staff then has developed a revised recommendation I showed you in that table with respect to some of the reporting requirements, the due dates, and in that table that I just showed you. In addition to that, staff is also seeking board direction on these two issues, expansion of total electric applied reporting in 3.0, as well as the term of 3.0. Should it be 5 years? Should it be less than 5 years? Where should we go with this? And with that, we open for discussion.
You know, one suggestion I have is you put a lot of fins there, is maybe we take one item at a time, because, pardon me.
Yes, Dr. Wolf, it is a pretty packed, although it's only 17 slides.
I suggest, otherwise we're going to have a lot of questions and cross and duplication, is what I would like us to do is to take where you're seeking answers or suggestions from the board is, you know, one question at a time. And we do have speaker cards also.
Yes.
And I think often it's beneficial to hear the speakers' cards because it provides additional food for thought from the board. So I would like to defer your discussion. And I have, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 speaker cards each, 3 minutes. So I would like to start with Mr. Shimmick.
So before my time starts, I'd like clarification on something. The things that Mr. Rose just asked for clarification on and comment on were not included in the staff report at all. So the public has, I've got prepared comments, but I don't have prepared comments that address the things that he's asking about. I think that this is a fairly serious thing when it comes to now asking for, you know, comment, but the public has not had an opportunity to prepare or even consider what he is asking for comment about. That's not fair.
So
I was going to say that in his presentation, Mr. Rose acknowledged all the outreach efforts he had done and the recommendations focusing the board's direction are related to that public outreach effort, some of which even factor in your specific comments.
But one of my comments for today in my prepared comments is that I do not feel that what the input that we gave is reflected in that staff report. I can give two items that are very specific, the photo monitoring and one other, it's in my comments, but that we gave input on and then are not encapsulated in his report to the board. In other words, they just got dropped. This is not a fair situation.
Jessica?
I appreciate your comments, and as well as you know that this is just for board discussion, and the draft will certainly be available for public comment, and you will have a further chance to comment on any changes that are proposed in the draft.
I hear that. I sincerely hope that the board will listen to this prompt. I will deliver the comments that I have prepared, and I hope that some board member will ask me about perhaps my comment on the two items that you are seeking input on, and I'll provide them at that time, because I think I've got 3 minutes worth of prepared stuff.
Go ahead.
All right. So my name is Steve Schimek with the Auto Project in Monterey Coast Keeper. I'm struggling with the tone and tenor of these comments because, frankly, I'm angry, I'm sad, and I'm disappointed in the leadership of this board. Let's go back to what you're waiting for in developing 4.0. You say that you're waiting for all these other things to unfold, East San Joaquin, Coast Keeper, all this other stuff. I would say that the standard that you're suggesting is incredibly arbitrary and capricious, in that Coast Keeper case, it's not final, it's going through appeal, but it's been decided by a judge. It's gone through the trial court. East San Joaquin isn't even out of the state board yet. It's been trapped in the state board for years. And it's for sure going to get petitioned, and it's for sure going to go to court by somebody. Zamora has not even been heard by the trial court yet. What is the standard? In other words, when are you going to take what you've heard into consideration and act on it? Is it when it's finally decided? Because we're one of the plaintiffs in the Waters of the U.S. Case, and that will surely go to the Supreme Court. U.S. Supreme Court. Is that when it's finally decided? Obviously it is. That will take decades. So what's the standard? Second comment, East San Joaquin draft, L.A. draft that had nothing to do with the Central Coast took Coast Keeper decision into consideration when they developed those drafts and that order. So now that you've got the exact order that is the subject of that court decision is not going to take it into account, Coast Keeper decision, when East San Joaquin draft and the LA or final order did take it into consideration. Again, what you're doing is incredibly arbitrary. Third, when version 2 was passed, we were assured that changes could be made mid-course. Specifically, things like what happens if there's pesticide, if there's pesticide shifting, people, you know, move to other pesticides and toxicity continues. We were told it would be addressed during that 5-year course. It did not happen. Secondly, How about the number of acres in Tier 3? We were assured that it was going to be always, you know, about 25 to 50% of the acreage. It's nowhere as close. Those things were not made. So my point is, if you're going to pass something for 5 years, it's just incredibly arbitrary to say, oh, but we're actually going to go quicker. You won't. Why should I believe that you will? Why should I believe it? I have no experience that shows me that you will lead. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Next, I have Mr. Perry Clausen, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the board. Appreciate the time to speak to you. I want to talk specifically about the MRP 17 that was covered today and was released on August 22nd. And we'll start out by saying EO received yesterday a copy of a petition that we filed with the state board on the MRP 17, I'll call it shorthand, and we put it in abeyance with the hope and anticipation that we would be able to work out the differences that we have. So we just wanted to file that petition with the state board just to make the point that we're not in agreement with the approach that was taken. And really with the Central Coast Groundwater Coalition, it has caused much consternation in our board meetings because we feel like in a lot of ways it has made our existence and our benefits value that we have offered to our members mute at this point. And growers are very value conscious, and we were able to put together a plan that we felt in the last 3 years developed a lot of data, a characterization report of the groundwater basins. From the plan that allowed our growers to not have to do the requirements the individual growers did. And we'd like to, I want to let you know that we are going to be proposing an alternative. We will be working with staff to put together that alternative, have several discussions with them before the December board meeting, because 2.0 has in its language the ability for a cooperative to write an alternative MRP plan. So we fully plan to engage with that. And we believe we have many value propositions for you as a board, for our coalition. We were able to get nearly 100% compliance of our members' sampling of domestic wells and follow-up replacement water. We think that our members are very committed to following the programs that we put together. And we really want to base our plan on a long-term, scientifically valid approach. We think 1 year of monitoring, everybody monitoring does not necessarily answer questions that may be of more value to the regional board over the long term. So our plan will certainly contain that. And we want to base it on scientifically sound principles with hydrogeology. Our groundwater basins, as you know, are immense. They're unique in that there's 5 major basins that we want to focus these on, and they will be individual for that, but in general, they will be similar so that we are able to answer the value question to our members and also provide you the information that you need. So I just want to reiterate in my 16 seconds left here that I think that the cooperative provides a lot of value. We had some startup difficulties, it took staff a little longer than they thought it would to get us going, but I think now that we offer a lot of value, if our growers all suddenly become individuals, just think about staff having 600 more individual growers that they're going to have to deal with all of their groundwater reporting. So I would just like to close by saying we commit to work with staff in the next month or two to come up with a draft plan that maybe in December we'll be able to give you an overview of if necessary. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. And next speaker card is Ben Peterlin, if I pronounce correctly. Thank you.
Good morning, it's Ben Peterly. I'm with Sam Roberts, Animal Keeper. And I'll be really quick. First, I'd just like to echo and say that we share many of the concerns that were raised by Mr. Shimmick moments ago, the primary point that we wanted to make today is that we do encourage the board and staff to move forward with development of 3.0 and planning of 3.0 implementation with a 1 to 2 year short timeline, and we hope that such a lifespan can be incorporated explicitly into the language of the order because of many of the concerns that Mr. Shimmick raised and simply because of the urgency that we feel and share with many others about the need to incorporate or align the order with court interpretations and state policy as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Peterly. Next, Ms. Weinman, please.
Good morning. My name is Claire Weinman, and I'm the president of the Grower Shipper Association of Santa Barbara and San Luis Obispo counties. At the July meeting, we expressed general support for a 2017 order that would be substantially similar to the current order until some of the pending issues could be resolved. We still support that approach. However, on August 11th, 2016, a new monitoring reporting program was signed into effect for the current order. We contend that these changes are a fundamental departure from an order being represented as largely unchanged. The staff report suggests that there are several opportunities to provide input on the changes to the current MRP. We contest this characterization. We were never under the impression that any of the general discussion concepts pertain to the 2012 order. Furthermore, the specific changes to the current MRP were never presented either conceptually or in writing prior to their release, and the MRP was released without any opportunity for public review or comment. In fact, it took several weeks to even obtain a track changes copy identifying what all had been changed under the current MRP. These revisions fundamentally changed the current groundwater monitoring requirements. The MRP notably removes specific language recognizing the opportunity for a cooperative groundwater monitoring program and memorializes the expansion of the well sampling requirement. Furthermore, the changes to the surface water program are unprecedented and will result in a dramatic increase in the cost of the surface water monitoring program. We are deeply disappointed with both the process and the outcome of the changes to the MRP, which impacts the ag order now and in the future. We have attempted to resolve these issues with staff and have been unable to, and now ask for your assistance. As Perry mentioned, due to the short time frame, together with our partners, we submitted a petition to the State Water Board with a request to put the petition into abeyance. This is my thesis statement. We ask that the board provide direction today for the executive officer to release an MRP that would overwrite the August 11th, 2016 MRP and revert to the 2014 MRP requirements. We see this as being tremendously important to both the current order and the 2017 order. May I briefly touch on a few concepts discussed today?
You didn't? Okay. In fairness for everyone, if it's super short, because I don't want to have the other speakers feel that
they were very brief.
Put in a disadvantage.
Just wanted to say that if further substantive changes are being contemplated, we encourage you to incentivize rather than penalize the utilization of groundwater high in nitrate. We agree with the calendar approach, but would suggest an April 1st reporting deadline for the total nitrogen applied, given the holidays, planting schedules, and tax obligations, and ask that as much content as possibly be memorialized in the order rather than the MRP, given the ability for the executive officer to change these. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Kurt Schmidt, please.
Good morning again. Thank you. Chairman Wolf, members of the board, Santa Coast Water Quality Preservation has been conducting the cooperative monitoring program since 2005 for the ag order and the ag, preceding ag waiver. The requirements of the cooperative monitoring program are memorialized in the MRP, or the monitoring reporting program. I've appeared before you, I think, at all of your meetings this year to talk about our concern about having the MRP revised in time so that we could budget for monitoring in 2017. Regrettably, the process of changing the MRP was hurried, and I have to say was more or less confidential as a discussion between the staff of Preservation Inc. and your staff. At the present time, in 2016, we have 414,000 acres participating in the cooperative monitoring program. We have a new MRP that starts next year that has extensive requirements, some of which we were not required to monitor before at all. For example, we have to now monitor for a suite of neonicotinoids along with pyrethroids twice a year, which is technically feasible and is something that our contractors can easily do. However, the cost of the program compared to 2015 and 2016, when we didn't undertake that type of monitoring, means that the cost after we've received bids from our contractors, to the cost charged to the growers will go up by 69%. On the there was a email 2 weeks ago that we received from Chris Rose stating that the winery WDR was going to be heard in December. And I don't intend to address the winery WDR, but that email alerted us to the possibility that 34 to 36,000 acres may be removed from the cooperative monitoring program. If that occurred, that would increase the cost to the remaining acreage by another 10%. So the cost to the remaining participants would go up from 2016 to 2017 by 79%. Now, some of that cost increase is due to the fact that we had savings in 2016, which we used to pay down basically the costs that the growers would incur, because it was not our goal as a nonprofit to become a holding for bank deposits. But needless to say, the growers experience a 69 to 79% increase in costs this coming year if this acreage is lost. From the growers' perspective, what they've heard throughout this year was that version 3.0 of the ag order was going to be substantially without change, with the exception of some changes in dates, which Mr. Rose has already referred to. However, after they received our cost estimates for the cooperative monitoring program for next year, they believe that a 69% increase in their cost is a substantial change. Now, Mr. Rose said there might be some other changes in total nitrogen applied. Many of these things cumulatively appear to the growers to be substantive. My concern is totally focused on the cooperative monitoring program and the administration of that and the carrying execution of the MRP. There's been some discussion that the MRP could be changed. Hopefully that won't be for 2017, because it's impossible for us to budget for uncertainty if we don't know what we're monitoring for. And also, it's not good to, from a scientific statistical point of view, to have varying standards over the course of a year, because you end up with data that is no longer viable from a point of view of determining if there's been measurable change in the future. Well, we have some dates coming up that are very important for the process of going forward next year. On October 1st of this year, the existing ag order requires that everyone must update their ENOI status for their farms. And this database is what we use to build the growers, and we received the information from that database on December 1st. And we appreciate that we've been receiving this reliably on that date. On December 8th, you have a hearing on the winery and vineyard WDR, which may impact the number of acres that are participating in the cooperative monitoring program. We have to send out invoices, and typically for the last 11 years, we have sent out invoices on December 20th, and they're due on January 20th. And we need to know who to send invoices to, but there would be no possibility to determine who could participate in the, or which acreage would be withdrawn from participating in the Ag Order MRP by December 20th, much less by January 20th, because obviously no growers would have enrolled in the new WDR at that point. And then again, and as we're all focused in March, you have to adopt a new Ag Order. The draft Ag Order will come out in November. There'll be discussion about it. The comments period ends in January, but it leads to substantial uncertainty as far as Preservation Inc.'s administration of our business of collecting sufficient funds to do the MRP for 2017. It seems reasonable, therefore, to request, for several reasons, that as to 2017, all the growers presently participating in the, that are presently enrolled through the ENOI program, including SIP vineyards, still be included in the MRP for 2017, so that we have an ability to have a stable number of acres going forward. I believe that this is a reasonable request because we've already talked about how vineyards use neonicotinoids and we will now be monitoring for neonicotinoids. There is runoff from vineyards. There is change of operation in vineyards. The only thing we do is a surface water program at 50 sites throughout the region, and it's important for scientific purposes to have these 50 sites continue to be monitored, and there's some lack of equity if only some of the growers going forward are undertaking a program that benefits the entire region as far as continued monitoring of these 50 sites. And the second reason is that by definition in the existing order, all of the SIP growers are in Tier 1. The only two requirements of growers in Tier 1 for the MRP in the past and for the 2017 MRP are to conduct groundwater monitoring, which the new winery WDR provides for groundwater monitoring that is very similar to what is required in the 2017 MRP, and surface water monitoring, which is not required at all in the vineyard order. So since there's no way to predict the future about how you may adopt the vineyard order, it's requested that as to 2017 only, that we have certainty and that the number of acres participating in our program remain all the acres presently enrolled in the program, that there's not a possibility of a reduction of number of acres participating in the cooperative monitoring program sometime next year as a result of what you may decide at your hearing on December 8th, fortunately in Watsonville, to make up for my sojourn down here today. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comment. So this was the last speaker card that I had, and you know, I'm looking at the time because I'm sure there'll be quite a bit of questions coming from my colleagues. Where are we with lunch? It's in the back. So would you concur to take a break now?
Yes. We also have a closed session during the lunch break. Note that.
So we need, how much time would you like?
30 minutes would be fine.
So the total would then be a 60-minute lunch break. I know, but we're just on the fly.
Okay, so why don't we reconvene, say, at 1 o'clock, so that makes it 55 minutes. Kind of a round number. Is that, but actually, I know you don't have local restaurants just around the block, so maybe let's make it an hour in fairness for everyone, okay? You so let's reconvene at...
How about 1:15?
1:15. Sounds good? All right.
And I just need to announce our closed session list. We'll be discussing items 6, 7, 8, 11, and 12.